Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Number one, the Bible is supernatural. It's full of strange things, angels appearing, beasts, monsters walking, people dying, one angel killed, 185,000 in one night. Peter walked on water. The Bible is filled of supernatural things. Amen. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
If you are a Christian and you are a person of the book, you must believe in the supernatural. That's all. That's point one. The Bible is full of it. Jesus took one loaf of bread, five loaves of bread, and fed 5,000 people. If you like, go and try it just now. Even at our saved church. You cannot feed five kids with one loaf of bread. They'll all be looking at you, mommy, it's not enough. The Bible is full of supernatural things. If you believe, I mean, and that is why we are here, because we are born again. Are we not? Is that not why we are here? So if you believe the Bible, number one, you must believe in supernatural things. Full stop. I didn't hear amen again.
Yeah.
Hey, what has happened to this thing? You know, these things are not reliable. Number two, many supernatural, talking about the supernatural, and for you to know about it, because once you know, you can begin to experience it small in your life and begin to expect it. So I'm giving you these 6 points. Number two is, many supernatural things are not visible to your eyes. This is very important, because in the world, people say seeing is believing. I mean, I've heard it before. Seeing is believing. And that statement undermines our total belief in the supernatural. Because many, many things in the supernatural, you cannot see them. You cannot see them. And because many of us cannot see these things, we end up not believing. And then we are like, oh. And like I said last week, many of us, when it comes to the supernatural, we think of occult. We think of wizards and mutia. And witches, we think of somebody with a curse. How come we fear curses more than we embrace blessings? How come when somebody says, I will curse you, then you are panicking? But when we say, I will bless you, you say, okay, but bring the money first. why? Why is money greater to us than blessings? But we fear, we'd rather pay money to avoid a curse. We have elevated the occult or the evil supernatural to be higher and more formidable than the good supernatural. But remember, you know, the supernatural, the devils and the wizards and the evil ones, their source is only one angel and one third of heaven's angels. So all the other good angels, all the other archangels and two-thirds of heaven's angels are actually on your side. That's why the prophet said, more are those, 2 Kings 6, more are those on our side than those who are against us. Amen. You know, if you believe me, you should never be afraid again. I don't like your face. If you believe me, you should never be afraid again. Do you understand the connection? No, hold your neighbor's shirt. See, I think this, your English is, or your maths or your geography, I don't know what it is. It's not working this morning. I don't know which one to apply. It's not working. If, no, you know, there's something in my house in the night, I don't put on the lights because it's my house. And I know where everything is. So when I'm walking in the dark, I don't need to look. I know where the table is, unless you move it in the morning. I know where everything is. So when I wake up in the night, I just walk through the house and I go to where I'm going. I come back again. Somebody told me that she's afraid in there and I should meet somebody. Who will you meet? No, I mean, who will you meet? I mean, what devil can be in your house and you're in the house of the devil? The devil should go out. Press eject. Yes, press eject. Listen, right now, there can be no devil. Write this down. This is commercial break. There can be no devil in my house. Write it down. There can be no devil in my house. Full stop. This is a commercial break. One day we'll continue about how to deal with demons. But you must not be afraid again. If a devil is supernatural, you are more supernatural. Amen. So, one, many supernatural things are not visible to the eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. When there was a famine in Samaria and the king sent to arrest Elisha. Then when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host, an army had surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear, you see, I didn't even know they was here. Fear not. Fear not. That is the key that you as a believer must always carry in your heart. Even one night, my wife was driving. They were going somewhere in the night. She used to travel a lot. She was working for a research institute. And one night, they were driving in the night. Then the car just began to cough. You know when the car is coughing? Chuku, 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 chuku. Then the car just stopped in the night. So they all got down, and they were just standing there. Then one man said, Do you know where we are? It's a cemetery. They had broken down just by the cemetery. And then we began to panic. Tell your guy, no fears. Fear not. Oh, you're not seeing well. Say, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the Lord prayed and said, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man or young woman. And he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. I want us to don't wait to see before you believe. I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe some things that we hear. I appreciate it. It's hard to be. I have a friend, Prophet Kakra, when he tells me his stories, it's hard to believe. I mean, some of the things that he has been through. Somebody's passport fell down in town. Do you know your passport? Do you know town? Do you know passport fall down in town? You know. And he fell down in town. And then he lost that. It was lost. In those days, visa in a passport was worth gold. So he called Prophet Kakra and he prayed, Oh God, my passport is missing. And in Kumasi here, they will take it, remove the picture. In those days, it was a picture. Remove the picture, put their picture there and go. And then they prayed. And they said, Go home. And when he went home, the passport was lying on his veranda. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how. But he went home and he found it there. And it's like, did I drop it in the morning? No, it fell down in town. Because I remember when I had it. I remember when I didn't have it. Then the panic. Then I called the prophet. And then he prayed. He said, go home. It's a supernatural thing. And you see, don't say, I'm waiting to see before I believe. Believe now. Believe now. Are you believing? Okay, at least you are hearing. Let's start from there. You know, John 20:29. John, this is what Jesus said. John 20:29. Because you have seen me, or you have seen, you have believed. But he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. I'm talking to you this morning. You have not seen a miracle. How many have seen a miracle with your eyes? You've seen something strange with your eye. How many? You're not sure. Maybe. So there's one maybe and all the rest are no. Yeah. Jesus said, it is better to believe even before you see. Do you know why? Let me tell you why. John 6:36. I'll tell you why it's better to believe before you see. Because of John 6:36. But I told you, this is the Pharisees, you have seen me and still you don't believe. Because some have seen strange things and still don't believe. So the seeing is actually not believing. So what it means is just believe. I didn't hear amen. Just believe that there are supernatural things happening around us and you can't see it. One day, somebody told me, have you noticed dogs? That sometimes when a dog is walking, he just walks, then he does a U-turn, and then comes back and walks again. I mean, I've seen it before. What did he avoid? You don't see, we can't see, we don't know what they've avoided. But the dog saw something we didn't see. Amen. It means that it's not everything that you see that is there. Some things are there that you cannot see. Let's accept it. And we are looking for supernatural things that you cannot see that are there. Amen. Number three. What's number one? So, if you believe it, you must be supernatural. It's full of supernatural things. What is number two? Yeah. Number three. Some things that are happening to you are supernatural, but you didn't realize it. So actually, you are a victim or a cooperator of supernatural things without knowing it. Without knowing it. And we have the classic case of Jacob who had a dream and then he said, God was here and I didn't know it. You know, many years ago, I discovered something. I realized something. Where we live in Accra, we have been there for many, many years, almost 40 years or something. Every house in that area has been robbed. Every house. My next door neighbor to the left robbed about twice. The house opposite, the house to the left, to the right. Over the years we have been there, every house has been robbed. We have never been robbed before. Never, not once. Once a carpenter tried to rob our house, but my father was watching him. He came down. My father was up in the night, and the guy had come in the night also trying to saw the burglar proof. My father was watching him from inside. That is one. What is wrong with him? You know. But every house has been robbed except our house. And one night, my mother normally goes to bed much earlier than we do. And we are often up late. But one night, as she was going to bed, I was just following her up. And so as she was climbing the steps to go upstairs, then she stopped in the middle. Then she turned around and she said, Lord Jesus, keep the house. Then she turned and went upstairs. Then I asked her, what did she just do? She said, oh, I give the house to Jesus. I do it every night. I give it to Jesus. He should watch the house. Every night. I said, that's why no thief has come to my house. That's why no thief. Every house except our house. Yeah. You say, Pastor, it's a nice story. You sit there and say it's a nice story. Believe, and when you go home, do the same. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Even a rented house, it doesn't matter. You are the one inside. when you go home tonight, you too. And she said, I do it every night. Every night. And my mother was an Anglican. I don't know if there's any former Anglican here. They were more Bible believing than some charismatics. Yeah. They do their quiet time 1 hour. Your quiet time is 5 minutes or 3 minutes. If you do quiet time, excuse me, ask your neighbor between me and you, do you do quiet time between me and you? If there's no answer, that's the answer. That's the answer. Amen. So you see, she who is an Anglican, was an Anglican, is the one who is praying, Lord, take my house. And you who are the charismatic, you are looking for burglar proof, you are looking for everything else. Oh, CCTV, God forgive us. G4S or what? We who are charismatics. Yeah. And those who are Anglicans, just throw their hands into the air and say, Lord Jesus, keep the house. I'm going up. And then they go and sleep. There's something we are missing as a generation of Christians that is making us come short of God's glory. Yeah. We are coming short. So, listen. Some things are happening to you that are supernatural, which you have not realized it, and you have taken it as if it is, yeah, it's normal. I mean, one day I was driving, I was in town, I was driving, and you know, sometimes when you're in a hurry, don't drive fast too. You confess your sins one by one. Confess your sins one by one. But one day I was driving along the road from somewhere to somewhere past the Doan carriage. And as I was driving, I was in a hurry. And then it's a Doan carriage. So suddenly, I can't say I heard. I'll come to that one. I heard what came to my head, change lane. So I just changed the other lane. There was a trotter in front of me. When I changed the other lane, then it was free. So I went. And as I was going, then I saw that the other lane was free. So I came back again. Of course, I've gained progress. Then as I was going, then I saw that my lane was blocking. So I was going to change it again. Then I had don't go. I said, I should stay in my crowded lane. So I stayed there. Then when I stayed there, this lane that was free, there was a broken down trotter just there. So our lane just went shoom, and we passed all of them. So I passed them again. As I was going, then I changed lane again. Then I changed again. And you see, it was so remarkable. Every time I changed the lane, I missed a bottleneck. And you know, when you drive and there's no, you drive to the highway from the lake road. And then when you get there, the light turns green. And then you pass it. It's very nice. So when I got there, I was going to the roundabout, where the Ahmadiyya roundabout, I was going there. And you see, when you those things happen to you, you feel that I'm lucky. No. No. Because you have been guided. When you watch these films, either The Matrix or Knight Rider, those guys, you see, they have robots, AI. They are able to dodge things. Yeah. I'm sure many times something has happened to you that to you it's like, oh, I was lucky. Oh, I just dodged the traffic. Oh, I just escaped. Charlie, I'm lucky. You. No. It's not luck. It is something supernatural happening to God, protecting and keeping his children. Yeah, and it's bringing to a place. Amen. So, three more points. These three more points are the most important. Is it possible? I don't know. But it's important. Point number four. Do not be natural, logical, and rational. Those of you who are intelligent, you are in trouble. Yes, because it pays not to be intelligent, but just to be a follower of things you have heard. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. Once you rely heavily on your natural mind, that means I think and I look at things and I'm intelligent and I know fire is hot. I know ice is cold. Water is wet. You are very intelligent. Water is wet. What again? If you live by those rational thinking moves, you will miss the supernatural. Because 10 minus 1 is 9. And 9 is less than 10. Of course, you will never tithe. You will stumble at tithing. Always. You will always be, I need money, but I'm rather getting poorer. Because if I give away my money, I will lose. And I need more money. Look at the church. They don't need money. They don't need money. I need money more than the church. So instead of giving my tithe, let me just give some 20 cedis, 20 cedis, 20. It's called flat rate. 20 cedis, 20 cedis, 20 cedis. Or it's called, let me just give a token. If you are natural, you will never see the supernatural. Amen. One very clear sign of somebody who is natural, it is this. Shall I give it to you? Some things are impossible. Some things are impossible. If you have that mind, that some things are impossible, you qualify for this scripture. No, not all of us. I'm leaving that group. Yes, come out. Come out of it. If you think that some things are impossible, you know, one day I was talking to Prophet Kakra, and he said, one day he will transport. I asked him, what film have you watched recently? When I say transport, that means I will teleport. I will disappear. I'll be here. Then I disappear. Then I appear somewhere. Immediately. And I asked him, what film did you watch recently that has made you declare this? He said, the Bible. Star Trek is, you watch Star Trek. He said, no, it's the Bible. Philip appeared somewhere. Jesus and the boat appeared at the beach. So whatever is in the Bible will happen in life before Jesus comes. Whatever is in the Bible, a mountain will move before Jesus comes. One day I was with him. He is the most supernatural person I've experienced with him. One day I was with him, and then a lady called, and then she said, Pastor, I am SS. I am AS. And my beloved is AS. And we want to marry. And they are saying no. Then he said, it's true, it's difficult. Then she asked a question. Can my genotype change? Can it change? And then he asked me, what would I say? I said, of course not. we are science students. You are, genotype is you. It is your very nature. It cannot change. Of course not. I'll tell her, listen, either you accept the possibility of an SS child or pray to God that something may not happen or find a new beloved. So I asked him, what did you tell her? I told her, of course it can change. I said, prophet, what are you saying? He said, of course it can change. Then the woman, do you know what the woman said? She said, yes! I want somebody who believes. So he said, let's pray on the phone. So they prayed on their phone. Then he told her, go and check. She said, oh, this is Friday. Monday, go and check. Do it again. And then call me. So, I said, Prophet, what is this? So, Monday, she called. Said, Pastor, do you know my genotype? AA. AA. You see, you don't believe. AA. And I said, this girl is lucky she didn't call me. I mean, she's lucky she did not call me. Because honestly, and I've said that, genotype is you. It's like, I'm a boy, become a girl. It doesn't change. He said, no. Bible says all things are possible. Is that what the Bible says? No. To him who believes, not all things are possible. All things. But now she found the scripture and she put up and defend me. All things are possible. Okay, this is a similar one. With God. With men, it is impossible. But not with God. Yeah. All things are possible to him that believes. Do you believe? Not yet. Not yet. You are hearing. You don't believe yet. You are hearing me yet. And you are contemplating, hey, this man, can a pastor lie like this? Maybe you. Is it possible? Is there some truth in this thing? Let's think about it. Let's consider it. We are waiting. I want to provoke you to become supernatural. Because me, I am determined to. Since I came recently, I've always known it. But I've become more determined to be it. Oh, yeah. I've become more determined to be supernatural. Amen. So, if you are natural, forget it. With men, it is impossible. It is really impossible. Can a man fly? No, it's impossible. It's impossible. But with men who believe, it is impossible. Let me tell you a story about children. One day, there was a man. He had a son. The boy was, I've forgotten how old he was. And the boy told his father, one day I'll fly. His dad says, people don't fly. I mean, in a plane or you go somewhere in a plane. He said, no. One day I'll fly in the air. And the father said, no, it doesn't happen like that. The boy says, no, the angel told me in a dream, one day I will fly. And then the father says, I mean, you are being, something is okay. I mean, he didn't argue, but I said, my son is becoming extreme. This is a small boy. And the boy will say, one day I'll fly. And the father said, what dream have you had? What angel or what something has told you in a dream that you will fly? And the boy said, no, one day I'll fly. So they were there. And then they had a Christmas play. And in the Christmas play, this is not Ghana. Ghana, we don't do these things. But in the Christmas play, they were sharing roles. And the boy got the role as an angel. As an angel. I'm coming. And when he got that role, in that setup, they set up a zip line that was strung from somewhere to somewhere. And the boy was put in a harness. And they gave him wings. And they slid him. He came down. But when he got down, told his daddy, I told you I'd fly. I told you I'd fly. Yeah. I told you I'd fly. One day I'll fly. And he came down on a zip line. He came down to land. And then I think it was to tell Mary. Yes. And you see, to those who believe, it is true. Yeah. You fly. What happens if you don't believe? You don't get it. You don't get it. When you don't believe, my time is running, but I don't want to. No, it's not a chair, but this one is a long passage. You see, the famine of Samaria, the siege, when Second Kings chapter 6. Okay, I'll read the scripture. I'll jump, but I'll go through it just for you to understand what I'm saying this morning. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that the donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. If you remember that siege, that's where the two women ate one lady's son, and the next day they were coming for the other. That is how bad it was. They were eating their children. Verse 33. While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. The king said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Chapter 7. Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord." You know, how many want to be prophets? Pray about it. It's a very difficult position to be, because you will be saying some things that even you, if you're careful, you don't believe. And this is what the prophet said. "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow," this is the famine where we are eating our children, "about this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel." A donkey's head was 80 shekels, if you remember. A donkey's head, 80 shekels. Now, the finest flour for one shekel, and two seer of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria tomorrow. Verse 2. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look at this one. Tell somebody, be careful what you say. Please tap your neighbor and tell him, be careful what you say about these strange and fantastic things. The officer said, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" If you are a logical person, we are in a famine today. You will say by this time next year. But you're saying tomorrow there'll be food free in the town. I agree with the officer. That's it's not easy, but could this happen? And this is his verdict. You will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat it. So how many times have we doubted in our minds things we have heard? And that's why somebody will have a testimony and you are still sitting here. How come some people have testimonies about money, about receiving gifts from God, and you are still sitting down looking for small money? Because you will see but not eat. And it happened. He saw. The next day, the four lepers went. Do you know the Bible story? Go and read it at home. I'm giving you homework. The next day, the four lepers went to their camp. The camp was empty. All the people had run away. They announced to the king. The king came. The whole camp was empty. They just took every food had come. Overnight. Our worry is, how will God do it? The answer is, it doesn't concern you. It doesn't concern you. How can God give me food? How can this thing happen? It doesn't concern you. You just come. You just follow me. Just agree that we are. Are you here this morning? Let's agree we are being supernatural. That's all. That's all. Can we agree? Can we agree? Not all are saying yes. Can we agree that we are being supernatural? Can we agree? Do you agree? Do you want to walk this road? Number 5. So, things you should know about the supernatural. Number 5. Respect your dreams. In the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and sons and daughters will dream dreams and have visions. One of the clearest ways that God speaks to us is through dreams and visions. It is one of the clearest messages. It is one of the, clearest way that God talks to us, dreams and visions. But few of us believe them. That is why Friday we are praying over promises that God has given us and things he has said that have not come to pass. Some may delay 2, 3, 4 years. We quickly give up on those dreams. We very quickly give up on those dreams. Abraham did not. 25 years. And every year you are older and older and less likely to have a child. Every year the possibility is more and more remote. But he never, I like the Romans, he said, hoping against hope, he never staggered at unbelief. When it was looking impossible, he didn't change. My God can do it. My God can do it. So listen, Mr. Man, all these years, your God has not done it. What are you holding on to? All these years, 15 years, 20 years. What kind of faith are you walking in? And he said, listen, it's not a question of time. It's a question of who spoke and what he said. And my God can do it. I don't know what you are thinking this morning. Tell somebody, my God can do it. I don't know. You see, what everybody has a dream. Everybody has a dream. Only that some acknowledge it. Some have stifled it. Some have forgotten it. I used to say, I don't dream. Oh, it's true. I don't dream. I sleep and I wake up. I don't dream. I don't know why I laugh. But I remember one something. It's in the next point. And I've kept it in my heart. Yeah. But others have dreams or visions. Those dreams or visions that you have, sometimes, you see, when you let go of it, it is gone. Not that God didn't do it. You let go of it. Just 2 days ago, I was at home. Then my daughter came to me that she came and stood in front of me. And she says, what did she say? Can you give me money? Can you give me money? I just look at her. And she stood there. I also sat there. Can I give you money? I didn't say anything. Of course I can give you money. Then she changed the question. Will you give me money? Do you know what my answer was? I didn't say anything. Then I told her, until you say how much you want, I can't answer you. If you want 10 cities, collect. You want 100 cities, collect. You want $1,000, forget it. Forget it. So until you say, so you were there for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just quiet. And I said, look, you have said nothing. I cannot answer your question. Can I give you money? Of course I can give you money. Depends on what you want. Yes. And how many times have you gone to God? God, help me. And what help do you want? God, give me money. What money? How much? Say what you want. Say precisely what you want. I need 3,000 cedis to pay my rent. I need a car. You see, Yonggi Cho said he asked God for a bicycle. And God didn't mind him for 2 years. And then one day he said, God, what are you doing? You're not minding me. God said, you didn't say what bicycle you want. So he said, this is in Korea. In 1957, he said, I want an American bicycle. Which is in Korea, which was at that time just war. Then he said, you have asked for a very crazy thing. His friends, you're asking for an American bike in Korea at that time. And he said, no problem. I've asked. That's what I want, God. And he was there. And he said, after 3, 4, 5 months, I forgot how many months it was, an American missionary who was going back to America called him, collect an American bike. An American bike. It took him 5, 6, 7 months. I don't remember how long it was. But you see, you give up your dreams too early. Too early. You just become frustrated and discouraged too early. And while you are waiting, you are grumbling. And you are saying, what kind of God is this? If I was God by now, I've done it long ago. Huh. If I was God, I'd have finished this thing long ago. And so you are not correct. Tell anybody, you are not correct. You are not, your head is not working well. Amen. So, listen, number 5, respect your dreams. What did Paul say? King, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Acts 27, 26, somewhere. Oh, King, I was not disobedient. That's where we should be. Whatever you dream you have, if you have a dream, hold on to it. And a dream will happen. Most dreams are so fantastic. They have to be supernatural. They have to be supernatural. Most dreams. Amen. 26:19. What's the first point? Please give me all the points. I hope you are writing. Give me all the points. Point. What's the first point? The Bible is supernatural. You believe it, you've got to be supernatural. You didn't type it. You're not typing. You didn't type. No problem. Number 2 is what? Are not visible. You can't see it. That's all. It is there. But you can't see it. Amen. So 1, it is there. Believe it. 2, but you can't see it. What is number 3? Are happening to you. Are supernatural. But you didn't realize it. I mean, you met a stranger in town who gave you a lift. You didn't realize that he was an angel because he was wearing trousers and shirt. Bible says, Hebrews 13, be kind to strangers because some have entertained angels unawares. It means there are some people who are walking this earth, they're not proper people. When you say Amos 4:4, people are not people. Or 3:3, Amos, I don't know. Don't look it up. 3:3 or 4:4. 3:3. Don't refer it. It's not true. Yeah. No, I am certain all of us have had, if you think back, have had some kind of experience. True or not true? Some kind of experience, which you may at that time explain away in some kind of way. But many of them are actually supernatural. But we have not realized it. And we have just moved on and said, oh, it is natural. So number 4 is critical. I didn't say natural or critical. I said, don't be natural, logical. Critical is different. Natural, logical, or rational. Natural is, logical means you lay down a system of something on something on something. It must be rational. It must be logical. There must be a reason and logic behind it. Rational means I'm not mad. I'm thinking. Do not be natural, logical, or rational. Otherwise, you will never see. Those who say some things are impossible, they are out. You are out. Those who calculate, look, I'm more and more convinced that tithing is not about giving money, but about believing God. I am more and more convinced that tithing is not a love of money, but a fear of God and an uncertainty about who God is and what He will do for you. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you tithe? Ask your neighbor. When I ask you, I'm asking you, do you believe in God? That's what I'm asking you. Do you believe in God? I don't care about... Look, your tithe didn't come much. Look at where we are sitting. Eh? Please ask anybody. Where is your tithe in this room? Maybe the basket was 250 cedis. That's the basket. 250 cedis is what your tithe has done over how many years or how long. Where is your tithe? It's not your money. Can't you see? It's not the money you are giving, but you're believing in God. And that is what, so the money you give, it makes you believe in God, then God will rise up and do you very good. Hallelujah. You have to believe. You have to believe. Amen. I began tithing 1982. I don't know when you were born. I began tithing 1982. And in those years, between 1982 and this year, I stopped tithing for only 3 months, where I was under pressure. Then I thought that it was wise to borrow money from God. So to borrow from God is by to hold back my tithe. I said, Lord, I need the money. I'll pay you next month. So I took the money, the tithe, and I chopped it. Then the next month, I couldn't pay. So I borrowed again from God. I said, Lord, I'm very broke. I don't have money. Even you were not born at that time. He was not born. Even money for milk and bread, I couldn't buy. I said, Lord, no, we are very, very poor, me and my wife. And I have a baby, a one-year-old son. And I need the money. So, Lord, wait, I'll pay you later. So I took the money again. Then I bought milk and bread and things. And the third month, it was even worse. I was broker than the first 2 months. Then I said, no, something is wrong. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. So that worse, that's the word I was looking for. It's getting worse and worse. And I said, no. I mean, I was struggling. It was getting broker before even 2 months into the 2 weeks into the month. I said, no. This is wrong. So I said, listen, we are tithing. It's irresponsible. We are tithing. And we tithe that month. And then you believe it. Look, the white man in their world, their system of education is different. Every student has loans, government loans, social security. So no child is, if you are poor, it's by choice. You have blown the money. They all have money. For that reason, nobody gives nobody. You understand? We all have money. We all have the government loan. We all got thousands and thousands of dollars to do as we please. So I know you have money. And you know I have money. So nobody gives. They don't give at all to each other. Yeah, I've come to see after several years of living there, they don't give. That month of my total brokerage, one morning, I just opened my door, and there by my door was a big box full of provisions. I mean, provisions. I said, Lord, Joy, it's impossible. Okay, I'll see you. Because they don't give. So I took it in. Everything was there. From rice to sugar to everything was there. And I was surprised. I said, it's very strange. Because they don't give. So I began to look who put it there. It was a long search. But I found the person. Do you know what he said? He said that morning, something came upon him. Help the Africans. I don't know. Help the Africans. I have been there with them for 2 years. No. You see, it may sound funny. I was there for 2 years. They never helped the Africans. For 2 years. They never helped the Africans. But that very day, help the Africans. And you brought a basket. And that basket took us for more than a month. Oh, yeah. My wife and your big brother took us for more than a month. Just one, this huge basket. Help the Africans. Amen. So, look, you say thank God. You say you are laughing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what it was. Help the Africans. So, no. Do not be natural, logical, or rational. don't think too much. Never say it is impossible. Say, I don't know how God will do it. And I don't know when God will do it, and leave it. I don't know how, I don't know when. But if God has heard my prayer, he will do it. Amen. Number five, respect your dreams. Number six is probably the most important for today. Respect your thoughts. Respect your thoughts. Amen. Let me say something this morning. Listen carefully. When you are alone, there is virtually no difference between a word in your mind and a word in your ear. You can't tell the difference. When you are alone, think carefully about what I'm saying. When you are alone in a room, there you cannot tell the difference between something you heard and something you thought. Because, did I hear it? Did you hear it too? When you say no, how many have been in a room with somebody and then you hear something but they didn't hear? It happens often in my room with my wife. I'll hear, she'll tell me, come in. And I said, nobody knocked. She said, I heard a knock. We don't quarrel, so I leave it at that. But when you are alone and you hear something, was it in your ear or in your head? Because when it is in your ear, you hear it. When it's in your head, you still hear it. The conclusion is the same. When you are alone and a thought enters into your head, it could easily be a voice in your ear. Bible says you hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk in it. I think it's Isaiah 30. You hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, 30:14 or something, walk in it. Walk in it. Many of us, yeah, thy ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it. Many times, you see, listen carefully to me. Any thoughts that occurs to you that is not what you were thinking, respect it. Respect it. Because a spirit may be talking to you. I don't even think you understand what I'm saying this morning. Whenever you hear something, give, do, go, stand, respect it. One day this is in Ghana, there was a time of political confusion. And there was, I think it was a curfew. And I had gone to town to go and play chess. And I had stayed too long. So now it was getting very late. I had to get home. And there was a lot of confusion in town. And I got to Accra Circle. And there was a huge crowd. And I said, how am I? There are two queues. One trotro queue and one taxi queue. All were confusion. And I said, how am I going to go home with these two confusions? Then I had a thought, stand in the middle. Then I said, stand in the middle. Then you are making no progress. Either go and fight here or go and fight here. But to stand in the middle, you're just standing in the middle, making no progress. But I came and stood in the middle. As I stood in the middle, a taxi came, empty taxi. He came, parked right in front of me. I opened the door and sat down. Then I thought he would wait. Then he drove off. Then I asked him, oh, but at least pick somebody. You know what they told me? Foolish people. Foolish people. So he just took me alone. And he took me straight to my next stop. As I got down from the taxi, a torture was just there. So I stepped taxi into torture. Then I got home. Respect, no, listen to me. Respect thoughts that occur to you unbidden. You were not thinking. You're not thinking about giving. Then a thought comes, give. You're not thinking of going. Then something comes, go and visit somebody. I mean, I have not planned to leave my house. Today, I've come to sit down in my living room to drink light soup and enjoy. Then a thought comes, go and pay a visit to your neighbor. Oh, look at how I'm comfortable in my house. But a thought came, respect those thoughts. Because many times you say, I'm too comfortable. I'll go tomorrow. It's not tomorrow, it's now. Something supernatural will happen when you go now and you obey that thought now, but we dismiss it. And you say, Oh, I'll see him church Wednesday. No, it's not Wednesday. It's now. If you go now, you will set in motion a chain reaction that will have some kind of effect that will be, when it is over, he said what? By your giving, thanksgiving will be given to God. By what you have done, somebody will give God thanks. But you stayed in your house and you're eating your cocoa. And nobody give God any thanks. No thanks, no going to God, nothing. But if you had obeyed, are you listening to me? The supernatural. If you had obeyed, I think the word is an uninvited thoughts. And a thought that just occurred to you by itself out of the blue. I mean, it just came to you. Give somebody your phone. Hey, Charlie. Hey. Hey, my phone. I should give my phone to somebody. Hey, Charlie. But God is setting you up for a testimony. I don't know that you understand what I'm saying. God is, but you see, we are so, what's number four? Don't be natural, logical, or rational. Because yesterday I went there, I've been to his house before, nothing happened. What will happen today? That's a logical, rational thinking person. But God said, I'm doing something today that if you are there, 1, 2, 3, 4 will happen such that they will know God is in the world. Suddenly they will know that there is a God. If you go today and you stand there, and then you may just arrive just in time. Then you see. One day I was going out in the morning. I had to see 3 people. And I was under great pressure. I said, oh Lord, who should I go first? I don't know how you arrange your day. But me, this is how I do my day. I asked God, who should I go first? And then one person's name popped up. I said, okay. So I went to him first. As I got there, he was just arriving to pick up something and go. So I got there, then I caught him. Then he did my thing for me. And he delayed me small. But he did my thing. So I finished. Then I went to the second person that came to my mind. And when I got there, he was just leaving. And I caught him as he was leaving. Then he did it for me. Then I finished. Then I went to the third person who was also there. And I found that if I had changed the order, I'll miss all 3. I'll miss all 3 of them. And one person left. He was traveling out of town. Another person too was going for a meeting somewhere. And I've missed all 3. This morning, listen. Respect your thoughts. If a thought occurs to you uninvited, unbidden, it just occurred to you, do this. From today, do it. Say, oh, but it doesn't make sense. Number 4, don't be natural, logical, or rational. Rational means it makes sense. Don't be rational. Don't try to understand, why should I go to Rosemary's house today? After what will benefit me today? I'll see you a weekend. Nah, there's something today. Amen. Are you listening to me? How many want to be supernatural? What's number 1? Bible is supernatural. If you believe it, begin to walk in the supernatural. All of us, begin to be supernatural. Amen. If the Bible is supernatural, so should point of these is what will break through. All of them put together, all of them will make you become a supernatural person. And as a Christian, is a supernatural person. May God cause us all to move into the supernatural. May God deliver us from being natural and being normal. May you not be trapped in the laws and restrictions of this normal world. This normal world will hold you down and keep you in poverty. This normal world will restrict you from breaking out to a level that God has intended. And this normal world will rob you of a sweetness that God has for us. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together this morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.